You probably know Tamar Braxton as a famous singer, as part of the Braxtons, and also as a solo artist.
If you're like me, you might also know her as a talk show host for The Real or as a reality star because she won Celebrity Big Brother.
And now Tamar is bringing fans along the journey to being her best self on her new podcast, Under Construction.
2020 has been a wild ride for Tamar, and she's showing fans a different side of the TV persona that they think they know.
On Under Construction, Tamar is telling her story her way and giving her honest, upfront perspective for the first time since leaving Braxton Family Values.
So listen to Under Construction with Tamar Braxton right now on your favorite podcast app. Hey y'all, before we get started with today's episode, just a heads up that this is a recording of last night's live virtual show where we recapped the series premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. At the end of that recap, we did about 25 to 30 minutes of Q&A from the audience, and that's not in this recording. If that's something that you want to hear or see, or if you just want to see the live show because you missed it, you can still watch it. You can go to onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens, and the video is going to be up through the rest of the weekend. So go check that out. And now here's the show.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker of the Game Brain podcast. A new episode came out today and I'm on it. So go check that out. And joining me is the hilarious, wonderful man of joy and love, Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
How are you doing today?
Sweet intro.
Of course.
I'm doing well. Loving this Monday. What a wonderful day. I've been watching that pirate show, so I'm just like looking for people to rob out the window.
Good.
Just looking who passes. Like, I can take that kid.
Give me a lunch money, you little fucker.
Like, I'm feeling really manly because I'm watching kind of a manly show.
Mm. Yeah,
it's like 2020 manly. They add a lot of gayness in it for us.
That's great. That's my favorite kind of manly.
Yeah, like literal butt pirates. My kind of show, Black Sails. Loving you.
Love that. I don't know if you can hear or not, but I am speaking through a mask. I am being a good little pandemic soldier because there's someone here who is fixing the heat because the heat went out. And I'm just like chattering, like my teeth are like, because it actually does get cold here in LA.
You're wearing a mask right now?
Well, there's a guy in the place. Like, there's someone from the outside. But actually, that's a good segue to mention that if you need a mask, you can go to our website, watchwhatcrappens.com, or Crappens merch. It all goes to the same place. And get yourself a mask. It's really, really important. COVID numbers are up crazy high. And you know what's funny? Last night I went to sleep, but before going to sleep, I was, you know, sort of going through IG stories, and I went down this rabbit hole because there was some sort of like horrific like gay circuit party that happened. It was a pool party that happened in LA.
Ooh, it's your favorite thing to be mad about.
It's my favorite thing. But here's what was so annoying. So it was like just like hundreds of like shirtless gays all clustered next to each other because the power of being outside means you can't get COVID, right? According to them, I guess, or anyone, not just the gays. That's, by the way, false. But they had like all these signs up that said like Biden and like celebrating Biden. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that Biden's whole thing is to wear a mask. You idiots. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is not just to rant, but in the background of one of those stories, who did I see? Charlie, the awful guest from Below Deck, who's been tormenting us for the past 2 weeks.
Well, that's what you need to say if you want to get everybody on your side.
Yeah.
Don't be like Charlie.
Exactly. He was there, no mask on. So there, but it wasn't on his IG account. See, he knows he can't put it up there, right? Because he knows he'll be shamed for doing really the wrong thing at this time when COVID cases are so high. But we still find it. So there you go, everyone. Don't be like Charlie.
There you go. You'll have you'll have Tattletale Ben after you looking on your Instagrams.
There was there was a reason why I brought all that up. It was Bravo related, actually, in the end. That's why I brought it up.
It all comes back to Charlie.
Yeah.
But today, guess what? It's not Charlie Day. Thank Jesus. That's tomorrow. Today is Real Housewives of Potomac Day. Also, we're going to update on Southern Charm at the end of the show because we skipped that because we did our live show on Thursday night and not much happened on Southern Charm. No offense, Southern Charm people, but that was boring. So we took a day off instead. Yeah. Thank you to everybody for coming to that live show. It was so much fun. It was 2.5 hours long.
It was tremendous. So,
yeah, it was long. It was good. You got there were like 1,000 and a half something people in there yapping with each other. It was amazing.
It was insane. Like that chat, I would look over to it. It was like brr, brr, brr. It was going so fast because there were so many people, which was really exciting. And also, of course, a big thanks to Classic Modge for coming on to our show. That was really cool that she did that. And we have to give a big thanks to her.
Give thanks to the Modge. Okay, so here we are with Real Housewives of Potomac, everybody. Woo. So we start back with this phone. We're still in Madeira. And we start back with I know that he just lives in your phone. I know that Jamal's a phone man. Hello, phone man. Are we there yet? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, Jamal?
Yeah, I think Karen thinks that he actually lives in the phone. Like, he's just like a little creature that comes out once in a while. Like it's like a hologram to everyone else, but actually lives in this inside the phone.
Well, you know, Giselle is one of those housewives. She is a live in the phone kind of housewife, where she just has all of her storyline revolving around her phone. She's got Jamal, and she's like Gina from OC, who has everybody she speaks to on that show, other than the housewives, are on her phone.
Right. That's true. We did have some progress. Matt made his first appearance last week.
And so her new boyfriend is on screen a little bit. But so far with Gina, it's been pretty much people on the phone. It's like, hi, Mom. It's like her, you know, yapping on the phone with her mom and crying. Mm. Or then her yapping on the phone with her dad and crying.
She's that person at the grocery store yapping too loudly on the phone. And you're just like, please be quiet. And you're in a public space. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know about your sadness while I'm, like, walking by cornflakes.
Yeah. So he lives in your phone. And Giselle's like, Karen, nah, who never talks about anything personal unless she's highly intoxicated. And it cuts to Karen drunk going, I have a beautiful tan clitoris. Mm?
I thought she'd just say, like, a bag or, like, wardrobe. She's like, clitoris! Took a left turn I was not expecting.
So Giselle's like, hypocrite, I'm not going to talk about my personal life. Ah!
Yeah.
Mind your business. Ah!
So then Karen starts asking Robin about Juan and stuff. And then she's like, well, when I saw Giselle's ass on Instagram in front of the jewelry store, I was like, Juan is joining her at the jewelry store. I could figure it out. Also, I saw the production rundown of the day, so that helped as well.
Giselle, the great secret keeper. She spends the rest of the episode like, Karen cannot keep a secret. Ta. I'm like, you went on Instagram in front of the diamond ring store, Giselle.
Seriously, Giselle.
Come on.
Seriously. Maybe she had to. Maybe it was some sort of thing like, we'll give you a discount if Giselle posts it on her IG. But that was ridiculous.
Yeah, but post it when the show's airing, not when you're actually doing it before Robin even knows you're dope.
That was ridiculous. And she's like, well, I was walking by and I thought I looked cute, so I took an Instagram video. It's like, okay, fine, but why were you walking by the jewelry store? No one's walking by that jewelry store unless they're going in.
Yeah, and Karen's like, it don't take a PhD to see this doesn't make sense. So Robin's like, well, listen, I'm going to use a lot of basketball analogies right now in this sentence, okay?
Unironically.
I'm not going to make Juan jump through hoops once his basketball season has started. I'm fine with that. You know, the ball is in his court. Love! Don't be a horse.
I don't want to... Listen, I don't want to cry foul. But you know what? Like, you know, I'm really in the paint with this one right now.
It's already been 2 years. I'm not going to give him a penalty.
Wow, it's so great to be traveling right now. That's a basketball term, Ronnie.
Yeah, I'm literally out of that was the manliest I've ever been, I think, on this show.
I know.
Out
I
of basketball
really
terms.
I would give you 2 points. Maybe I'll give you 3 points. That was a three-pointer. That's that was a stretch. Like a true three-pointer. So so next up, the women have to go tobogganing down a mountain. And Karen's like, well, I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. Which I'm like, by the way, thank you to the producers who arranged to have Karen Huger go tobogganing down a mountain in Portugal.
Yeah.
Or Madeira.
That was the sound of Karen coming down the hill.
Next year, they'll have Karen doing the skeleton or something. All right, Karen, we need you to go face first down a very high speed track. Well, I'm not going to do it. Fine, I'll do it.
Now, I didn't know what tobogganing was, I guess, because I didn't know it was like they put porch furniture on wheels and rattan. Then throw you down a hill.
Yeah, I did. You know, I heard that rattan is in. I didn't know it was that in, that even toboggans are rattan now.
Yeah, I thought it was like a canoe type thing that you got in.
I thought toboggan was like a bobsled. I guess it's just something that takes you down a slope very fast and potentially... in the comfort of rattan. You can feel
I was
like
cracking up. Yeah, it's like the Golden Girls set, just going down a hill.
Have you ever wanted to be sitting with Dorothy, Blanche, and Rose and Sophia, but also feel the intense speed of gravity pulling at you?
Oh, so let's see. So they're walking. Did they already ride the toboggan? Yeah, they've already done it.
No, they're going to the toboggan. They're heading. They're toboggan bound at this point. Basically, Ashley has announced that they'll be tobogganing, and then she's like, and then they have like a little bit more poncha, and then she takes like a teeny tiny sip, and they're like, "Oh, Ashley used to be able to drink, but not anymore."
Yeah, Candace. She's like, "Come on, you're my drinking inspiration." Oh, there's the Ashley I know. I'm like, you were the one who like shamed her for drinking the entire season, Candace.
Yeah, that's true. So then they're walking around to the toboggan, and Wendy goes, this feels so European. And Robin's like, oh, I wonder why, Wendy.
And then Ashley calls her mom. You know, everybody stop calling your family during these scenes, okay? Talk to each other. It's weird. Yeah. It's like being with friends in real life. Like, are you really FaceTiming your mom? We're getting drunk right now.
If I'm on vacation, like, you're not really getting too many phone calls from me. Like, these people take so many phone calls that are just like, hey, so I got some new orange juice. Just thought I'd call you all the way in Madeira to let you know. That's great. Give me an update.
Yeah. And this is episode 16, when normally a Housewives season could end. Like, this could be ending right now, but I think they're doing another 6 episodes. So this is like the, let's just keep talking about the same shit. You know, when you're going on a cast trip, outing, and everybody is calling home, you've got a problem, okay? There's no shame in just ending the season on a high note, guys.
They're just filling out that episode order because they probably have to make these shows stretch before Bravo catches back up with, you know, like regular production schedules.
Yeah. So, let's see. So, Wendy's like, well, some people have fragile bones. I'm not saying it's me, but some people do. So, like making age-shaming jokes about Karen. You know, there's just some people I just can't wait to see get old.
Well, I'll tell you what Karen has to say about that. Shut up! That's what she says.
Okay, so they scream and it's wacky. It's like a wacky Housewives going down a hill scene. And then they go to the market. And,
before they get to the market, though, when Karen's going downhill, she goes, "We're tobogganing in Portland, tobogganing in Portland." Because I think she's doing like an IG story, and Wendy's like, "Portugal." She's, "Oh yes, Portugal."
Okay, let's go to the market.
Yeah.
Okay. So they taste a lot of fruits that they've never had before. And are bitchy about them all.
They were really bitchy about
that. They're bitchy to the fruit ladies.
Yeah. They're basically, like, there's, like, a lot of papaya and dragon fruit. And Karen's like, well, ever since I had that passion fruit, my throat's not been the same. I think I'm getting some passion fruititis. I don't know. Wow. All the perils of being here in Portland, Oregon. So dangerous.
So they pass a little baby clothes store. And Candace is with Ashley, and she's like, oh, I want a baby girl. And Ashley's like, oh, you're having a daughter? How beautiful.
I'm going to just swipe my phone a lot and be bitchy to you for no reason.
Yeah.
And so now Ashley decides she's mad at Candace for all the stuff that happened last year.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I think it's odd she's talking about her motherhood journey when last year she had no consideration for me. Also, I need to pick a fight with her so I look more sane when I write a really long monologue in support of Monique.
It's like it's just like the most basic psychological thing, right? Like, you know you're going to do something shady, and rather than be like, I probably did something shady, you just start to demonize the person that you were shady to, and then you feel justified in your shadiness.
Yeah, she's basically like cheating on her boyfriend so he'll break up with her. Yeah. That's basically what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's equal to that. So then we see a clip. I'm sorry, Ben, but we see a clip of back then when Ashley was so serious about having a baby. And she's having lunch with Candace and she's like,
oh, yeah, I'm really trying hard to have a baby. I stopped drinking.
And then swigs a Corona.
Yeah. It's a classic scene. So then
2019, things were just so simple then.
I know, we could just go out in public and swig a beer. I guess you still can do that if you're an awful person named Charlie who goes to
parties. You could go out and swig a beer with a friend without Ben hiding under your table writing notes to turn into the government.
I really will be. I am here to shame, and I have no shame in the shame, because the more people act like Charlie, the longer I have to sit here with this mask on, and like when someone comes over to fix the heater, you know, that's what I gotta say. It's simple as that. So Karen and Giselle are walking, and just like, Karen, I want to show you these peppers. This is in no way an excuse to pull you away and talk about something secretly. Let's look at peppers. I suddenly have a pepper agenda out of nowhere. Peppers.
And Karen's like, peppers, vibrant, ready. They're very, very ready, these peppers.
This
like,
is like
thanks
her...
for your review of the peppers.
I know,
Karen.
Thanks. We'll see you on Chopped. Like, what was that? Like, random, like, Zagat's review of the Madeira, pepper, chili peppers and Madeira. Gorgeous and ready and vibrant. I like their shape. I like that they're not circles. They're long. These are long. Peppers are a long shape for a long life.
So Giselle's telling her, Juan and Robin, you keep bringing up the engagement. And she's like, I had a moment. You having a moment? Are you having a moment right now in front of these ready peppers?
All right. Well, these peppers certainly look very thin. They must have been doing a lot of readiness drills.
So she's like, please don't bring any more attention to it. Let's just say Juan is going to do that himself, and we don't want to spoil it. She's like, thank you for dropping the tea. Now I know it's happening. And then she walks through the pepper section, moving her hand, like waving her hand back and forth like all the single ladies.
Yeah, like over her head. And like sashaying, like sending her butt back and forth. All right, peppers, come follow me. Where are all the peppers? I thought they were ready.
So, all I need in my life is a Karen.
Yeah. I loved her, like, her odd sensation of triumph in that dried pepper section in the market. She's like, I knew a ring was coming. I'm like, Karen, we all knew. They said that they were going to get married. So now they're driving back, and they all need naps. So now it's nighttime. And so now they're getting primped up and everything. We have a real intense close-up of Karen ironing her hair. Like, really intense. Like, I thought something was going to go wrong. Like, it might be a Final Destination moment.
Yeah. So everyone gets ready, and then Giselle, guys, there's some more wackiness. It's episode 16 wackiness, guys.
Yeah, it's wacky.
We're going to fuck with Wendy. Do some pranks on her. Some wacky, wacky pranks. Now, this hotel should be sued, because she didn't even have to lie this time to get the hotel key. Yeah. Before, when she did this, she came up with some elaborate lie, remember? And this time, she didn't even bother. She's like, I need my friend's room key. Thanks.
Yeah, she just did it. I mean, even Brandy Redman had to do some sort of, like, you know, Leon Locken cosplay to get her fake, you know, or to get her key, you know?
Is that what I'm thinking of? Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, Dallas.
That happened in Dallas, but it also, I think there was an issue with the key. I think they tried to get the key last year when Katie went missing, but since that was a real situation, I think the hotel was like, no.
Oh.
Like, oh, so you're like, I'm sorry, are you trying to locate a missing friend who may be dead, or are you trying to put spiders in someone's bed? Okay,
because yeah, we're not into wellness checks. Yeah, but if you've got a plastic spider, you can go right in.
Yeah, go right in.
Yeah. So Wendy, now it's Wendy's turn to call home and ask for advice on her dress because her boobs are hanging out of one of them. And then Giselle's still like, wacky spiders, ah! And so then she... who's she talking to? She's in the bar talking about how she got a phone call and Juan is going to propose and everyone's pretends they're so excited.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess her feeling is now that Karen knows, I think that Giselle wants to control the story because Karen's going to tell everyone, right? So now she's telling Ashley. And then she says that she's like, well, now I need an ally. And there's no better person than Ashley Darby. She knows how to keep a secret. Which I didn't know that. I thought Ashley actually is like famous for like putting everyone's business out there, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
What if there was a place you could discover all of the world's best independent ethical brands? A platform which takes the effort out of finding sustainably produced fashion, jewelry, accessories, homeware, beauty, and gifts without compromising on quality, design, or price. Meet Wolf & Badger. Wolf & Badger delivers limited edition collections from artisans around the globe, items produced in small quantities and made to last, right to your door or to try on in stores in London and New York. Rather than framing products around trends, Wolf & Badger places emphasis on the creators and the stories behind their unique products. Their sustainability guarantees mean that not only will you be one of a handful of people to own each piece, but you'll be shaping the future world that you want to live in. Beyond five-star reviews, they've been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and in Drapers, which just named them the Sustainable Retailer of the Year in 2020. Support small business and find a new way to shop. Visit wolfandbadger.com today and save 10% off your first order. Just use code STITCHER at checkout. That's STITCHER at checkout. Discover unforgettable gifts and find your new favorite designers, all at Wolf and Badger.
So then they go in the van, and now it's Robin's turn to call home. She calls home. Her kid's like, whoa, it's dark there. Time change. Whoa. So then they go to the restaurant, and the lady is the kind of lady that makes me crazy in restaurants, who's like, hello, welcome, and here's your stunning view. Like, how about you let me say it's
let
a stunning
me
view, okay?
Decide that, lady. I will let
bring
you know.
Bring me a basket
stunning
of bread. How about that? Bring me a stunning basket of bread, yeah. You bragger.
Yeah, exactly. I was more upset that the menus run clipboards and it was supposed to be cool. I don't know. Like, I enjoy a clipboard in general in life. I'm actually surprised I don't have a clip. Actually, no, I just got a clipboard. It's right here. I almost said I didn't have a clipboard in my life, and I have one right here. Hear that? That's the clipboard.
But, yeah, I feel like I remember you saying, I'm in the market for a clipboard.
You know what? I got it's like a glass clipboard that you can, it's like a dry erase clipboard. It's cool.
Oh.
Yeah, it makes me feel professional over here. It just sits here and I write down little, like, things on it that really are inconsequential. But I
to
feel
do
like
today.
I don't even have what to do today. I literally have like three markings. It says like P1, P2, P3. I don't know. I don't know what that means. So is it a parking garage I'm designing? I don't know. Karen, by the way, is continuing to not drink. Before, when she was at the bar, she ordered a green tea. And she's like, well, when you're taking care of yourself, you monitor yourself. And you keep going like a pepper that's ready to emerge at any moment. You take care of yourself. She kept on like saying self really loudly.
Yeah, she's in monologue mode, Karen. She keeps acting like she's got something to say, but then she doesn't really. And she's like talking about a glass of milk. And you're like, hmm? So this restaurant's super fancy, and you know because they give you more butter than food. They give them like this huge sampler tray of butters, and they're all different kinds of butters.
Yeah.
But then when they get their food, it's like a bite of food. Like, what the hell?
But the butter won me over. Like, I was like, okay, lady telling me what to think about the view. Okay, clipboards. But then I was like, three butters.
Peppers. I told you those peppers were ready. Pepper butter.
There was a pepper butter moment. Because Giselle's like, that's not spicy. And then she goes in for more of the pepper butter. And then she's like, got the pepper butter in my nose. I'm like, Giselle, you're doing the butter wrong. If the butter's in your nose, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, so she's like, how's everyone feeling? Has everyone called their family? You want to talk about it? Oh. So Robin's like, hashtag blessed. And basically they make small talk and they're really bored. So they talk about how Wendy's just so busy and she only sleeps 4 hours a night because she's got so many kids, or 2 hours a night because she's got so many kids. And then Candace is like, you know, everything I'm learning from you all, talking about taboo things like my penis ripped. Those are the things that I need to know about motherhood because I am having a plot line about possibly maybe deciding to have a baby that you'll have to hear about for the next 3 years. Like, don't do this plot line until you're actively trying. Like, don't make an announcement of an announcement.
Yeah. Buy an Amy Grant CD, and that will be your baby moment, okay? But this is too much. The thing is this. She's trying to, she's really trying to push her maturity, right? Like, now that she's involved in this situation with Monique, she is going extra hard to have these mature epiphanies and mature moments and mature reactions, you know, because this is all, she doesn't want to react like this, but she knows that she's on camera right now and she's savvy and she's like, this is going to be used in an actual court of law. So I'm going to be super mature and say things like, wow, I really want to go on this journey. When honestly, all she wants to do is, I don't know, eat crumpets or something. I don't know.
Eat crumpets. Yeah. She's definitely trying to get the motherhood, you know, where people are like, you can't be mean. She's a mother. She's a new mother. Don't be mean to her. But she's not, you know, she's not yet. She just wants to be a mother. So it's like, you can't ride that until you're actually doing the work, lady.
Well, especially also because, yeah, she's suddenly realizing like the joy of new mom immunity. So like,
yes, that's perfect. New mom immunity. Thank
you. Right. Like she can't be like, no one can be mean to her. And then like this whole thing with Monique, it's like, I'm a new mother. She wants to be able to pull that card, and she can't just yet. So instead, she talks about being able to pull the card, which is pretty close.
So she's pregnant with the idea of being pregnant. So, but then Ashley is basically bitchy now because she's going to, you know, like we said before, she's going to try and trigger Candace into looking like an idiot and fighting and losing her temper so that Ashley looks okay about making this testimony. Or at least that's how I see it. So Ashley's like, oh, is that on the calendar, a baby? She's like, well, it's not on the calendar, but there has been a change about how I feel about a lot of things. And I feel like I'm ready. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry right now. I need to cry right now.
And Wendy's like, okay, here comes the tissue. Look, here, it's already folded for you. Here you go. And then Candace gives us this like line of bullshit where she says something about like going through that traumatic fight with Monique shows that I can absolutely be a good mom to somebody. Or she said something like that. And I was like, what?
She said it almost broke her. It almost broke her.
But she wasn't broken.
I got through it, which showed me I can be a good mom. Yeah, you're going to need to know how to take a slap if you're going to be the mother of a baby. Because no one slaps you more than a baby. Why do you think moms have to get their hair cut? Because babies pull that shit right out, okay?
Listen.
babies are violent little monsters.
Bad news for you, Candace. You thought you had, you thought you were going to get some new mom immunity. Babies got the most immunity of all. Not like medical.
I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby. You can't see me because I pulled your hair, mommy. Sorry.
Oh, I'm about to take that spoonful of food. Just kidding. I'm flicking it in your face. And almost blinding you. Wah, wah. Baby immunity. Wah.
Isn't it funny when I throw a drink? It's just cute. Wah, wah.
So Ashley's like, well, obviously, a point of contention last year was that you were doubting the anxiety and pain that me and Michael were going through as a couple when we shared our miscarriage. And then we see a clip of Candace making fun of her, like, oh, she's trying to make a big moment out of her miscarriage. And he's pretending to cry. And she's giving a monologue about it.
And Ashley has decided that she wants to both renew her new mother immunity as well as, you know, tragic miscarriage immunity. Which, by the way, tragic miscarriage immunity has very long legs, deservedly so. But she's like, I'm going to bring it back right now.
Yeah, that was nasty. But it's just weird. Like, you've already had a makeup and like Candace says, like, hello, we've already had to come to Jesus. What the hell? So Candace stays, you know, it's like, what the hell? She stays calm. And Ashley's like, well, you did say those things and Michael was hurting and you took that dig and that really hurt. And Candace is like, well, it is a therapy lesson, learning to communicate without aggression. She's like, well, you accused my husband of faking crying, talking about our miscarriage. Mm-hmm. She's like, I do not want to go backwards, Ashley. I really, really don't. And it's not working out for Ashley because Ashley's pushing. And Candace is like, I'm not fighting you, lady. Okay.
She's like, it's so obvious. I literally don't want to go backwards because I will fall off this balcony. And Ashley's like, well, the karma train does come back round and it's coming back into my station and I want to be a bitch. Which was one of the most honest things that we've heard on these shows. Like, I just want to be a bitch right now. It's like, okay, well, if you just say that, then sure, have at it. Have fun.
So then Karen goes into monologue with Karen moment. She's like, let's have a moment, please. Pause. Think of the peppers. Now, Ashley, you nailed it on the head when you said that you watch your spouse go through something you want to protect. And you want to protect them. And it reminds me of when I stood for Ray and shouldered for Ray. And he didn't give me the respect for what I was doing. I was like, this is not about you this and Ray, not- Karen. Oh, my God.
When I soldiered for my man, I thought he would say thank you, and I thought he would do that, and but he never gave me the respect for what I was doing at the time, and it put a strain on our relationship. Thank God a life coach with the pressure of TV cameras got Ray to give me a perfunctory thank you, and that solved everything.
Sorry, I had to cough.
That's okay. I thought you were just choked up by Karen and Ray's progress.
Yeah, I was like, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful. I love that Karen is saying that. Like, I mean, of course, it's always nice to get a thank you. But like when Ray said thank you to her in that life coach scene, he was like, the therapist was like, Ray, can you say thank you? Can you? Here, we'll start with a tha. He's like, tha. You. Ray, thank you so much. We're back.
So Robin's like, well, what does Ray need?
My time. He needs my time. And a radio host and a life coach later, he's got it.
And Robin's like, he just wants the old Karen. She's like,
well, he says that I was the aggressor in bed. The aggressor. And I need him to meet me sometimes.
So yeah, because Ray wants the old Karen back. Also, Ray wants to go to Florida still. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
I can't.
He wants the new Karen in old Florida. Okay. Yeah, he wants old Florida back.
I can't put on baseball because every time that Ray sees the Tampa Bay Rays, he just says they're calling me to Florida right now, and I say no, Ray, no.
So Giselle, not wanting to hear about Karen's sex life, immediately moves it back to Candace's, you know, pretend imaginary baby. And so she's like, well, I can't wait to meet baby Bassett. And Robin's like, yeah, that's huge, because she went her whole life saying she's not ready. And now she has her space in her heart for a kid. It's like me and carbs. You know, for a while, I was like, I'm not eating those. And then I opened my heart. Am I close? Am I close right now? It's very special. Very special.
Ash is like, I'm not really done on my point. So I'm just saying someone doubting is very hurtful. It's very hurtful. And Candace is still being shockingly mature. This is like her first season when she was like actually like wanted people's acceptance. And so she was nice her first season. So she's like, well, it's not healthy for me to put my shit on you. This is what I've learned. And, you know, and Ash is like, but you wouldn't give me an apology for shit. And she's like, I'm trying to. Can we, like, I don't want to go backwards, all that stuff. And Ashley keeps saying how she's trying to bury the hatchet, but, like, she's still really hurt by everything. And how she's like, I want to be there for you. I want to be there for you, but I don't want to be under false pretenses with you.
Yeah, she just keeps bringing this up because it's the same fight that she's going to be talking about in evidence. So yeah. She's like, this is why, everybody. This is why. But yeah, it's still not working out for her. And so finally, Robin's like, well, what do you want, Ashley? What do you want out of this conversation? And Ashley's like,
you violated me emotionally.
And Giselle's like, do you remember how you used to act before you had a baby? Because it's very similar to this one over here. And she points at Candace. And Candace is like, what does that mean? Jeez.
And then Robin's like, and just remember how you attacked my family and the choices I made for my family. And Wendy's like, ooh, hey. And she like shoots off a gun with her finger, like a little finger gun, like psh, psh. They're like, we didn't want to have to do this to you, Ashley, but you're forcing our hand here. You were a monster too.
Yeah. And so Ashley's like, well, did I go on social media and bash you and keep it going? And Robin's like, well, she would do that to anybody, though. That's just a character flaw of hers.
She's just an awful person, but that's separate.
So then Candace is like, what's the trigger with this? Like, why are you mad? And she's like, well, you're asking people to be sympathetic to you, but then you literally spit on me when I needed sympathy. And she's like, I do not want to go backwards, Ashley. I do not want to go backwards. And Karen's like, going backwards. That's human. It reminds me of the times that I soldiered for Ray and they were like, no, we're still talking about this, Karen, okay?
Listen, she has feelings, and I want to hear you say that she has every right to feel what she is feeling. So, for instance, if she's feeling like she wants to soldier up like a good pepper, then let her say that.
Yeah, so basically Ashley loses this one because Candace is just like, okay, I apologize again, genuinely, and I will apologize however you need me to apologize. And she's like, damn it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there is a difference with Candace since the altercation, so it's going to be a slow, topsy-turvy, windy road, but she's on it. Walking at a very slow pace, yeah. But she's on it.
I'm like, I'm not sure what road that is, but okay. So then they toast.
You want to see her mad? You're about to see her really mad.
Yeah. Okay.
If you really want to see her mad, just tell her that you are going to write a monologue of testimony for Monique.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. So now they head back to the hotel and Robin's FaceTiming, with Juan, and, he's playing a video game, and Giselle's like, I want a nightcap. Which, you know, Karen was like, well, sure, I would love to buy one. Now, what sizes do they come in? Because I just love that look. I think Ray wants me to be a dresser in the bedroom, so it starts with a nightcap.
So they're all, half the girls stay down to drink, but they're totally bored with each other. And the other girls go up with Wendy to pump, I guess. So basically, they hide in her room and hide some spiders and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't really work because when they all go up to do it, like the camera crew's in there, the girls are in there with her, they go into her room with her, so they're like,
yeah, well, but that like doesn't fake, really work. It's like the fakes, it's like the fake scare to then get Wendy off, like now Wendy will be like, okay, that was the subtle thing, fine. And then they're just like waiting for Wendy to pump in bed, and Giselle is like really obvious about it. She's like, so, did you pump in bed? Is there a bed? You want to go in that bed? You want to get in that bed? Just curious,
Under the covers of that bed, And so she's like, just get out of my room. So they leave, and then they go watch on the producer's monitor so they can see her, see the spider. And she does, and she screams, and then she takes off the covers, and there's a snake, and she screams again, and they're like, ha, ha, ha. Wacky housewife scene, nailed it.
I mean, I laughed. I'm not gonna lie, I laughed. I thought it was funny, just because it was like, I was surprised at how many tiers of startles there were. There was like the initial spider, and then there was like the snake, which was like the second. You know, it was, you know. I was amused.
Are you yelping there, housewives wackery?
Give me 3 stars. Could have been better.
So it's the morning and everybody's getting up, and Wendy's already at the bar. Like the first thing she says when she wakes up, she's like, she asks her her phone, how do I say I want more pancha?
She loves pancha. That pancha.
Yeah.
And Robin's looking at photos from her embellished photo shoot, she's like, and then Ashley's doing yoga, and there's this like an extraordinary close-up on her mouth going, I'm like, I'm looking at her saliva. I was like, why are we so close on her mouth right now?
So Robin goes down to meet Giselle at the pool, and she's like, well, the photographer sent me all the pics from the embellished hat shoot, and we whittled them all down, and, Ashley killed it, and,
yes, and Candace looks good.
Yeah, Wendy looks good. And then they get to Karen, and Karen's, like, looking down with her baseball cap pulled over her face, and it just goes, dong!
Yeah. Karen's like, Robin's like, well, her pictures are a little challenging for me.
And Giselle's like, she's not doing the hat justice.
I mean, which that says a lot, because I don't know how much justice the hat merits, But I guess whatever.
That hat is terrible. The only thing terrible in that picture is that hat. That's terrible. It looks like a Febreze can.
Also, if the brand is literally called Embellish, if you took a bad photo, literally embellish it.
Yeah. And Robin's, of course, a dick about it. She's like, something like this, like, my hats are youthful. No, they're not.
They're okay? not.
There are no 20-year-olds running around in hats that look like, that are covered with flowers like a Kleenex box. Okay, Robin? They're not.
You
I don't know see, where you got that.
You want to see that hat? Go to Zabar's on, like, a Saturday afternoon, and you're going to see some older ladies who have, like, with very intense black dye jobs,
yes.
wearing that hat and feeling like they're very cool and hip.
Yeah, you want to see that hat? Look at a shoebox greetings card. Okay, that's where you're gonna see it. Shut up with your more youthful. She's like, yeah, like more chic and hip, and she's not giving me that. And just like, oh, so you're gonna cut out Karen for being old?
Has she run this by Anna Wintour yet? Maybe she, you know, since clearly this is a very important decision. So, yeah, so they're going to cut out Karen from the website, which is pretty, it is hilariously petty and silly because it's already like the stakes are already so low for this hat. The fact that like someone might buy it, but then they see Karen Huger and they're like, never mind, you know,
she's an idiot. She's so rude. So Robin's like, well, I don't want to hurt her feelings, but you know, she has a business. She'll understand. No, she won't. So Robin's like, yeah, I mean, yesterday was even the first time I talked to Karen and felt like I was getting to know her more. I love that Robin's such a victim. Like, oh, Karen would just never share with me. You've been attacking Karen every season for years. What are you talking about?
And also, like, I don't understand what sort of vulnerability Karen showed. I mean, she basically was like, well, I soldiered up for Ray, and he wants me to be an aggressor in the bedroom, so la dame. It's like, that's not opening up.
Yeah, and so Giselle's like, well, she says that Ray's not in love with her. Do you think she's in love with him? Because we all know they're not having sex. And Robin's like, what does sex at that age even look like? Well, if it's with each other, they're already kind of beating your marriage, you a-hole. She's an ass, Robin.
You know what's funny? Last night when I was watching, I was like, gosh, I really am loving Robin this season. I'm totally like into Robin. I think it's hilarious. You're like, what an ass. I'm like, God, Robin's great. I love Robin.
You know,
these days.
I have until this, and now she's like, well, Karen's just like too old to wear my hats, and she's too old to have sex, and she's too old.
She wasn't saying like, she wasn't saying that Karen's too old. She's saying that Karen's just not hip. And if and
but Candace is hip.
Well,
Giselle is hip.
No,
come on.
But I can respect that Karen is not the brand. Whatever the brand is, Karen. I mean, let's be honest. Is Karen's anyone? Is she really a brand ambassador for any product?
Yeah, but it's like you're getting your castmates who would normally charge a lot of money to do that kind of thing to do it for free and share it on all of their things. And like someone donated their time
rude.
To support your thing. And then you're just like calling them an old, you know, useless nothing behind their
And back. By the way, that's the photographer's fault. That's not Karen's fault. If the photographer could not elicit what Robin needed, that's not really Karen's fault. Maybe some of it's Karen's fault. You know, I have watched enough America's Next Top Model to know that the model has to bring something to it too. But I mean, it is rude. It is for sure rude for everything you just said, but I still like, I'm very like on the Robin bandwagon this season.
So they start talking about what it would be like for them to have sex. And Robin's like, I just envisioned him having his dress socks on.
Yeah. Which is unfortunately what I would envision too. So then, and then apparently we learned that years ago, Karen got drunk and said that she hates Ray's dick. And Rob was like, yeah, and I never forgot it. So there's just that, you know, that thing. Robin's also really good. You know, Giselle is known for being the shit stirrer, and I guess Karen and Ashley too. But Robin will drop a bomb like that reliably once a season, right? Mm-hmm. Like last season, it was about Michael saying that he wanted to suck someone's dick, right? So like she'll just drop the bomb.
Well, Robin's I think worse about it just because I've decided to hate Robin today.
Sure.
But Robin's the worst at it because she when she does it, it's when the cameras are off and everyone's like letting loose and getting drunk, and so she's using like behind the scenes stuff against people. Yeah. Like that stuff with Michael last season was when everybody thought they were being not watched or whatever. And then this time she's talking about is another time when it was off camera where they were getting drunk and Karen made some comment that she's going to bring up 3 years later, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's also really good at being really fun and nice the whole time. And then she does it like that and kind of gets away with it more, I think, than Giselle. Because Giselle will stand there and yell at you in a hallway where Robin's like, just funny.
Giselle has no elegance. She has no elegance in her shit stirring. It's like, it's very on the nose and just like hilariously awkward, and yet it always works.
Yeah. So Wendy goes straight to the bar and orders a pina colada for breakfast. And she goes, she tells the bartender, yes, I am already at the bar in a robe.
Yeah. And the guy makes, it looks sort of like Mountain Dew. I don't know what, maybe there's something lost in translation, or maybe that's just the foundation of a pina colada. What do I know? Okay. So then Karen and Candace are on the roof deck, like restaurant or whatever, looking at the view, and Karen saying how she slept really well and Candace fell asleep in her makeup and her clothes. And Karen's like, I have to say that I'm so proud of you at the way you handled yourself at dinner. Here, I'm giving you a pepper. Take that as a symbol of your growth.
She's like, well, for me, it was like when I was attacked for 3 years in a row. I'm like, oh, okay, it's about you, this monologue.
Yeah.
So she's like, yes, I understood because the ladies attacked me, and now they're attacking you, and you didn't have a fit and throw a butter knife at anyone. So you're really growing. You're really growing.
Yeah.
So Candace is like, well, I would be completely open to being her friend, but at this juncture, the ball is in her court. Oh, are you marrying Juan?
So then Ashley goes and sits with Giselle and Robin by the pool, and I don't know why I wrote this down. Ashley asks Robin why she's in a sweater, which is actually a pretty good question. And Robin's like, don't worry, I'm about to get skimpy. So then they're asking her about Candace and everything, and Ashley hasn't seen Candace, and you know, they all were like, we thought you were past all this stuff. And Ashley says that she's, you know, been triggered and that she's going to be writing a statement on behalf of Monique, you know, basically that will be attacking Candace and basically about the butter knife situation.
Yeah. And Robin's like, oh, so your statement is going to be you walked into the bathroom and didn't see anything, right? And she's like, no, it's not as a witness. It's as a character witness. And she's like, oh, so she wants you to assassinate Candace's character, basically. Yeah. And Giselle's like, well, clearly you don't want a relationship with Candace if you're going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And Ashley's like, well, I mean, if that's what she hears, that's what she hears. Monique could go to jail and she has a family. Like, okay, so, like, yes, Monique could go to jail. If she does go to jail, it would also be the consequences of her actions. Admittedly, this lawsuit, I think, is a little above and beyond a punishment for that fight. So there is that, too. But Ashley just... The way Ashley acts as if like, well, if that's what she hears, that's what she hears. I'm like, if you're putting on a legal record that Candace is like a, you know, homicidal butter knife throwing biatch from hell. Yeah, I think she's going to hear. I don't think she's going to hear too many positive, you know, undertones to that.
Yeah, but those are also consequences.
Those are also consequences. That is correct.
So there you go. I mean, I don't think they're equal. Like one is like actually physically, you know, going at somebody and one's not. But Candace was being held back in that fight by her husband, you know, while she was swinging away. So I don't know. So I think that Monique is within her rights. But yeah, that is quite a move for Ashley.
I actually have always felt that the butter knife thing, I mean, it's sort of like become like an iconic fight, and it's like funny, and it's always funny to be like, oh, keep her away from the butter knives and butter knives. I don't really think in that fight that Candace was trying to stab Ashley with a butter knife. She just sort of had it and was just like, she was just like all like, you know, excited, and she just was, you know, she's the sort of person that turns everything into a microphone and then starts waving that microphone, you know? And so she had a butter knife.
Yeah.
And then when she was pushed away, the only thing that she had left to do was sort of like do a floppy toss of it down to the floor. Still not good. Still not good. But the way people talk about it, they act like she's like Jason Voorhees, you know, of Potomac.
Yeah. And no, like, she wasn't trying to stab her, but her husband was holding her back while she was swinging away, which they showed in the clips.
She did have a butter knife. She had a very dull knife in her hand.
So Giselle's like, well, she's not going to go to jail, so get over that. And she's like, well, I didn't see it, so I don't know. And they're like, then why would you write a statement if you didn't see it? And she tells him, well, when things were going on with Michael, one of the things that were alleged were that her cousin and her brother were there, Monique's cousin and brother were there, and that they saw everything. And then they said they didn't see anything, and they wrote a statement on our behalf. And they're like, oh, so you owe her. And she's like, well, I mean, yeah, and I'm not lying about it. It's not like I'm making up lies to go against Candace, you know, stuff that actually happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation, right? Like, because regardless of whether or not you think that Monique and Chris deleted that footage, they did have Ashley's back in a pretty big way. And Ashley does have a really good relationship with them. So it's actually not the craziest thing in the world that she would defend her friend. But I think it would be more like sort of what they say. Like, you should probably be doing a statement saying how great Monique is, not necessarily to tear down someone who is maybe not as good of a friend, but is like in your friend circle.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of anti-Candace, so...
Yeah, I mean, Candace
I think that Candace is obviously in the right on this one, but the way she tells it... I mean, there are such things as contributing factors in court cases, and that's why you call witnesses. And Ashley's not lying, and all they have to do is show that clip to see... And show the clip where it actually happened on the show, the actual fight happened. You know, Monique, of course, is guilty for the physical violence, but it's not like Candace was just sitting there, not screaming... Give me Monique, drag me or whatever was going on. So I don't know, here we go. It's like episode 16, here we go again.
Here we go. And ultimately it ends with Ashley just, you know, again reiterating that, like, if Candace doesn't like this, then I know, then, you know, then that's fine, it is what it is, then we just won't have a friendship. If that's what she chooses to harp on, then that's on her. I'm like, it's not like you took her last, like, the last candy bar from her mini bar. You know, it's like, you're right. You're making a statement in court. Like, she is going to harp on that. Don't act like she's just, like, petty for harping on that. I think she, as much as I hate Candace, I think she's well within her rights to totally, totally harp on that.
Yeah, but Ashley's right that she's been a first-hand witness to aggression. And she, this is what Ashley said. I've been a first-hand witness to her aggression, and she did these things when I was trying to get pregnant, and then attacked me nonstop on social media and went crazy on me and everything else. So, you know, that's what you get if you go to court. People call witnesses. Sorry, you're going to call them. I'm sure that some of these ladies had no problem. Well, I don't know if they did or not, so I shouldn't even say that, but... I'm sure she would have no problem calling witnesses. So what do you expect? Like, you see somebody and they're going to defend themselves.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So it's, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. Next week looks like that's where all the madness is going to come to a head on this front.
Yes. And it's going to happen while Candace is wearing a Catwoman outfit.
Yeah, exactly. So let's mosey on over to Charleston for a little bit, just to catch up on what happened last week on Southern Charm. I'm taking off my mask because the heating guy has left, so I am now unsheathed. I'm safe. I'm safely unmasked. Feels great. So, like, the big... I think the big thing that happened on last week's episode is that Leva had a Persian dinner party for the girls, because she sort of wanted to be like, I want to... show white women, you know, that there's, like, more outside the world of white women. And she says at one point, like, look, you're white, I'm brown, he's black, it's cool, let's, like, you know, like, break bread and, like, get to know each other, et cetera, et cetera. So that was, like, the whole thing. It was kind of funny seeing some of the women being like, ooh, whoa, like, what is this?
They're like, we're sitting on the floor? Like, yeah, that's how, you know, that's how we do it. Wow, so what do Persian people think of this?
Catherine's like, is it, like, before she even got there, Catherine was like, is it belly dancing? And thank God Leva told everyone when she was inviting everyone to this party, she's like, so the theme is going to be Persian princess, please don't come dressed like Princess Jasmine, please. Because you know Catherine had, like, one finger, like, just ready to hit, like, the one click... One click purchase on Amazon of, like, a Princess Jasmine costume. She was just about to press it.
Yeah. So they have that, and then Shep has a good, I'm a good person now, look, I might even commit to somebody, and I'm gonna go to dinner with Madison, too, we're gonna make up, I'm such a good guy, look at me in the dog park, I'm a dad, get out of the mud, you little rascal, gosh.
There was, like, a lot of obsession about a marsh. He was like, oh, Craig, don't go in the marsh, oh, Craig's in the marsh again, Craig, you're in the marsh, he's in the marsh. Which, I don't know, Ronnie, you're a dog owner. How do you feel about that? That like, it was like a, it looked like it was some sort of like cute, like bar/dog run, which is cool. But how did you feel about the fact that dog run had full on open access to like a wet,
that's
muddy
infuriating.
Bog?
It's infuriating. Okay. When, of course they put a marsh in a freaking dog park, but you know, you get the beer too. So I don't know. Like, that was nice if they had a bar, but.
Put up a fence, yeah. Right? Like, that really bothered me.
Yeah, but there's marshes everywhere there, and it rains a lot, so I don't know that you ever really escaped that with the dog. But it was a wacky, fun scene. Whoa! And he was hanging out with Danny, and he's like, I'm so sorry about the chlamydia. Not giving it to you, but talking about it to Austin, who opened his big mouth. Sorry. Whoops, gosh.
Yeah, and Danny's like, yeah, I feel like last year I sort of had, like, a scarlet letter. I'm like, damn, what happened off-camera that Danny is like, that she got scarlet letter level. I mean, like, I've been saying this for a while, like, you shouldn't feel shame about it, Danny, because people get chlamydia and it's treatable. It's like, there should be no stigma, but I understand how someone could feel stigma about it. It could be embarrassed and it's on TV, but like scarlet letter levels. I'm like, what are people like not sitting near her in the movie theater? Like, what's going on with, why are people being so mean to Danny?
Yeah. And then we go to Pringle. He talks to his boys on the phone, and he likes Madison. He tells his sister that he likes Madison. She's like, let me guess, she's hot and blonde. He's like, yep, pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, Pringle's shady. He is a shady character, by the way. I mean, he literally goes up to Austin later in the episode. They're all drinking and everything, and he's like, I'm not going to lie, I got designs on your woman. I'm not going to lie. She's pretty hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot. So I'm gonna go for it. I'm like, they're like fully dating. Not a very functional relationship, but they are fully dating. Like, that is so rude.
Yeah. And watching Austin just get so like, oh, jump.
It's insane. It's insane that he would say that. It's insane.
Also at Madison's house, of course, this turns into Catherine getting a ding right in the middle of this very important dinner. It's like serious dinner. She gets a ding, and it's now about Thomas and Catherine. Yeah. What a shocker. Can't believe that happened. But yeah, she gets a text that Thomas has gotten someone pregnant, and she's keeping it.
Oh, and here I thought that Thomas and Catherine were going to be a forever couple, maybe.
Yeah, I can't even feel sorry for you right now. I can't. And then she says, yeah, well, I found a pregnancy test in his garbage can a while ago, but he said he doesn't even know how it got there. Like, that's not a good excuse. Like, I don't know. So it's better that some random pregnancy test just ended up in his trash can? Oh, my God. I can't with you guys. Stop.
I know. Also, you know what I really enjoyed this episode? We met someone who I don't think we've met before. Her name was Jackie, and she was at that dinner party, and she was hilarious. She came on with, like, an oversized, like, brass headpiece, and, like, her entire smile was like, hey, I'm Jackie, and I'm here. Hi, everyone. I'm Jackie. This is great. I love Persia. My favorite video game, Prince of Persia. It's great to actually be living in the video game now.
Oh, I'm scrolling through all these notes.
Sorry. I'm going all out of order. I was just doing
No, no, it's okay. Remember. I am too. And I think that's all the stuff that... But also, Catherine's thing sounds fishy to me, just going back to that for a second. I think she knew that this lady was pregnant and keeping it, and she's just bringing it on TV now and being like, well, I thought it was going to work. Because that's crazy that she had already heard about this a long time ago, and she just happens to get a text right now. Come on, you guys. Oh, and here's the other thing that happens. So Catherine is like, I love that necklace, Madison. Is that from Patricia's closet? And she's like, oh, yeah, she has a diamond, too. And I tried it on. She said, you can't get that from Austin. Mm-hmm. And Catherine's like, that is so weird. She's like, yeah, I mean, it makes me sad because I do look up to her opinion. And Catherine's saying, Patricia is meddling. She's like the puppet master on the NSYNC album with all of us on it.
You can just say the puppet master. That's fine. But...
I know. That's perfect.
But I was like, is Catherine
the puppet master on the NSYNC album?
Specifically that puppet master. So they're all going to be singing and dancing soon in a room that's tumbling on its side. Are Catherine and Patricia, it sort of felt like, after all the hubbub about them being friends again, it's felt a little bit like, are there cracks in this relationship going on? Like, I kind of got that vibe. I did take notes. I took notes on, like, the first scene. And it was a scene in Austin's house with Craig. And they have, like, their bro, like, sad bro banter. And it was actually very hilarious because Austin's like, Craig, I found your toenail clippers that you accused me of stealing. And Craig's like, why do you call them toenail clippers? He's like, isn't that what they are? Fingernail clippers. I was like, what? This household. The discussions that they have. The discovery that they have.
He's like, Craig, pick up all your shoes. And they're like five pairs of tennis shoes and a pair of, like, heels.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, are we finding things to complain about now? I mean, this house is legitimately spotless. I'm like, there's like a raccoon just, like, reading a newspaper in the kitchen.
Yeah. And I love that Patricia and Whitney aren't even hiding it. Well, I guess they've never really hidden it. It's not like a Housewives show where they're like, let's manipulate things behind the scenes with Rhonda online. This one, they're just like, come over to my house. Now, here's what you're going to do. You should date Madison because Austin sucks. You know? Like, they're like, she's manipulating us. It's like, she's not manipulating you. She's literally casting your relationships on camera.
She's like, Whitney is the executive producer. Like, he's not manipulating you. He is beating out a story. Okay. And Patricia is like rich as fuck in a big rich mansion. And she has a butler. Like, if you are not expecting to be manipulated by someone like that, then you are the exact sort of person that gets manipulated. Sorry to say.
Yeah.
I like also, Craig and Austin talking about, they're talking about trop hop and everything, and Craig suddenly gets, like, really, like inspirational and everything. He's like, you gotta focus on your company. Like, you're the only person that can get in your way. And Austin's like, yeah, Tony Robbins me, man. Oh, Tony Robbins me. He's like, you know what I'm saying? You need to prioritize. And Austin's like, oh, Craig is homeless, but he thinks he's a shark on Shark Tank, okay? And Craig's like, don't be self-destructive. So tonight, let's go bar hopping. You got to focus on your business. Let's go bar hopping.
Yeah. So it ends basically with Catherine finding out about the new baby and with Austin finding out that Pringle's going to be coming for his lady.
Dun, yeah.
Dun, dun.
And actually, my favorite line, sorry, this is my last thing. My favorite line was Austin saying, Craig, you definitely had a Mary last night, a mysterious alcohol-related injury. And then Craig goes, yeah, a dog bit me. What? I thought it was like, oh, I tripped and fell. It's like a dog. What was the... Who? I didn't know the entire backstory about that dog.
That's Craig's superpower. He's just got a hand that will constantly heal every season from something.
And gets maimed and healed all at once. That it just goes on. His hand has more of a story arc than he does these days.
So we are changing up our schedule a bit this week because we've got extra shows, okay? We've got Monday, we've got Real Housewives of Potomac. And then we have Below Deck on Tuesdays. Then Wednesday will be our bonus episodes, which are Emily in Paris. Then Thursday is Real Housewives of Orange County. Friday is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Saturday is Southern Charm. And then we are saving up the final episodes of Great British Baking Show for Thanksgiving week because we're going to need something to post. So keep watching it. Yeah. We're going to keep recapping it, but we're just holding him for a week or two so we can have something for you guys on Thanksgiving. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, which, by the way, Thanksgiving's next week, which is crazy. So it's not like...
Oh, wow, is it?
Yeah, I didn't realize. Dom's like, you know that Thanksgiving's next week? I was like, what? It's next week.
I'm looking.
And look, it's there. It's next week.
Oh, so then how are we going to hold episodes then if it's next week? That's stupid. That was stupid planning.
No, we're going to do it because this... Okay, so everyone, the Jell-O episode, we'll... Gel episode and next week's episode, we'll put them on, you know, we'll get it. It's okay.
Yeah, we'll have them up on Thanksgiving. The thing is that
there are a lot of episodes up that we're recapping, and it's just our bandwidth is a little messed up right now. So just bear with us. Let's, you know, like, I know if you're really waiting to hear our thoughts on the Jell-O art situation, we will have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, you'll have it next week.
Next week, you know? Yeah.
Okay, family. Everybody, thanks so much for being here. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.